Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. It's the Leaf Hour edition. In an hour, we'll welcome into our national show Darren McCarty, four-time Stanley Cup champion, and in studio David Amber as he sets sail on hockey day in Canada.
Mm-hmm. 12 hours of programming.
Canmore, Alberta.
No prettier place.
I've never been.
Pictures are nice.
Okay. Text me one, would you?
You know, Canmore is legitimately maybe the most beautiful town or city in the country.
So gorgeous, yeah.
There's some good golf there, I hear, too.
I have driven through. That's all I can claim.
Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jennifer Rolnick with you for the next 2 hours, including yours truly, Toronto Maple Leafs. Kind of gave it to Sammy yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Five-game winning streak. They lose a couple of games. What's the big deal? Sammy called it a slump.
What's the big deal is a hell of a choice of words.
we'll get into that. But it is now officially a slump, Sammy.
So good on you.
I know. I can feel. I can sense it. I know when it's coming. I know. I can just feel it. So, yeah, they're slumping, boys.
I think we should probably hit the latest news out of the Toronto Maple Leafs outside of dropping a loss to the Dallas Stars last night. John Tavares was seen leaving practice today, limping and favoring his right leg as he went down on a power play drill.
Oh, that power play is just killing him.
It is a pretty sick joke that the power play is not only costing them games, but now it's costing them their second line center and a drill.
We've seen the video.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts, JB, on what you saw and the degree of seriousness in your eyes.
Yeah, it doesn't look great, but he does get off the ice of his own power. So that's okay. You know, like, I think that's a good sign. And, you know, if he had to miss a couple of games, is him getting rest for a couple of the games the worst thing in the world? I don't think it's a major crisis. Anyone else? Want to panic, Sammy?
I don't want to panic, but I thought it did look kind of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that you kind of lock skates with Chris Tanev. Tanev doesn't know their skates are locked, and he continues to skate, pulls his legs apart, kind of goes down weird on his knee, gloves off immediately in pain, writhing a bit, skates off gingerly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what you want.
For the record, I skated off on my own when I tore my MCL.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that helps. Kip, how about you?
I think there's just absolutely no way, even based on the video, to your point, where you can definitively say, he's fine. Because we've seen, to your point, guys walk up, limp off, mm-hmm. And then find out later that there's something a lot more significant going on with a knee. Especially, and I don't think it helps the fact that either the Leafs haven't made any type of formal announcement on it. The last we had heard was head coach Craig Berube saying he needs to be reevaluated before we get any update. I would think if everything checks out okay at this point, maybe the Leafs might release something. Maybe they might not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Would you want to calm the waters down if you're the Leafs, or would you rather just wait for tomorrow? I got to assume that there is a chance that he may need a picture, an x-ray, something just to confirm everything's okay. Maybe that's going on as we speak, but to Sammy's point, when it rains, it pours.
Well, and, you know, it didn't look like Connor Zary. You know, like, his knee didn't look like it snapped, however.
Or carried off the ice by three people.
Right. But on the other hand, he's, you know, in his mid-30s when your tendons and everything else start to become dry rubber bands. So you never know.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll wait and we'll report on the news when we have it.
How significant would this be if he's lost for 4 to 6 weeks?
Oh, my God.
Like,
well, that's nightmare scenario. 4 to 6 weeks is worst case scenario.
Just the thought of losing John now for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, like I'm not going to say it's good. I just Max Domi might get an opportunity up the lineup. He's been scuffling offensively. Maybe that opportunity opens a door for him. you know, they have a couple of pretty good players on the outside. Pacioretty and Holmberg didn't play last game. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying you can get by a few games. 4 to 6 weeks is a problem because it takes you to the trade deadline where you're not sure. Like, if it's 10 weeks and it's playoffs, then you get to spend the money. Cool. If it's 10 days and he's back, cool. That middle ground scares me most of all.
Agreed wholeheartedly with everything.
Okay.
I have nothing to add. And for the record, though,
I did not bring up that if he's out the rest of the year, you can go and spend his money somewhere else. Now, who was that on this panel before we went on air who mentioned
it's
that?
It's a hypothetical.
I'm asking. I didn't bring it up.
I was just saying,
This is Sammy's world, right?
Let's kick around what it would be like.
Leaf Nation that would have this conversation now?
I may or may not have got like two or three LTIR texts in my... Everybody is desperate for the Leafs to do it. They've watched every other team take advantage of it.
They don't even want it to work. They just want to do it.
They want the Leafs to do it.
Yeah.
Before the window loophole closes, and it will close after the Leafs do it. I've gotten a few of those today, just after the news is trickling in.
But you start doing it in your head, and you're like, ooh, they retain on Brock Nelson. They get Scott Mayfield as well. You just start doing enough for JT Miller.
You got enough for everything. So, listen, I'm not panicking about the length of it, but I wouldn't say it looked pretty at practice. And they didn't really know, and I haven't seen anything or heard anything that they know yet, so we'll see where it goes.
Podcast, not a news show. Just like to remind everyone.
Yeah.
No reports.
All right. Let's move on to last night, where actually it looked okay to the start.
Good start.
1-0.
Well, they hit four posts or something.
A nice typical goal that Leaf fans are used to, where Marner finds Matthews with the quick release.
Is that the first one this year where he's just like wristed one by a goalie like that?
I thought it was all Lorenz on that play.
I was like, wait, hold on, what?
He got him going.
Lorenz is already off the line.
After that, it just seemed like kind of went downhill with a 4-1 loss, but still kind of hearing a similar tone out there where we're not that bad and we're close and we had five posts and a couple of bounces here and there and we're fine. We're good. And we'll get to some Kipper Clippers with Berube setting a bit of an overview of the game, but are you sensing that, like, it's just not Marner? You know, it's others now going, it's not that bad. Relax.
Well, it's one other, and it's William Nylander. And for me, it reminds me of the Thornton one that we all hated, where it's like, why isn't the standard excellence? Why isn't it that, why are they so willing to lose games and be like, we weren't that bad? Like, the standard should be, we're great. We're a great team. We're pushing, we hold ourselves accountable. I hate to skip around, but do you want to do the Willie clip? Like, is it too soon to play that?
No. Well, let's go to Berube for his overall feel, and then we'll slide it into Willie.
All right.
I think tonight, you know, the game was right there. You know, I thought we started off well. You know, real good power play right away. Hit a few posts on it. You know, it would have been nice if one of them went in. But right now, just for me, like, it was a special teams battle tonight. I thought 5-on-5, pretty even game, pretty tight game, not much going on either way. You know, we got to win that battle, but, you know, just we're not getting the bounces, I don't think, but we're not executing good enough with the puck. I think that we can execute better and seem a little, you know, off on the execution part of things.
And I think it was James Mertl who tweeted yesterday that in the first 20 games, they were fifth in high danger chance differential, and in the 25 games since, they're 22nd. Like, we're not getting the bounces. I hate that. I know
it seems like it's just an excuse or it's just a way to fill a post comment with words, but wasn't there ever a part of you that watched the Leafs in the first 42 games and just feel like everything was going right?
It was because I didn't think they were playing great, and it was just working out.
And now,
well, they had the best goalie.
And now it's not working out. Now pucks that couldn't find its way towards the net because of legs or blocked shots are now finding their way bouncing around all over the place and in their net.
But that's why guys like you and me kept coming here and were critical after some wins, because it's process over results. And we're saying, God, they won, but
maybe it's just balancing out a tad here. And listen, I'm not an excuse guy, but they're not getting one bounce, not one. Everything that went right in the first half of the season has got off to a horrific start. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the gods playing a little bit of catch up now. And
they seem like a very average team. I understand they're first in their division, but like, you know, the way they look right now.
And for me, that's not taking Willie Nylander off the hook here, or even John had maybe one of the worst games I've seen all season long last night as well. But like, yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now outside of just not getting a bounce for the Leafs.
The one thing I'll say about the comments in the media is that I don't blame them for not killing themselves in the media, because that just raises the temperature around the team, right? If they come out and go, well, we're awful and we're not good enough at our standard, like, it could contribute to noise. And so I get them coming out and saying, I'm just hoping that in their dressing room, they're not also going, boy, we only gave them three chances and they scored on all three. Like that, I just hope that there is a different message being sent behind the scenes than we're hearing. Because not to go on a bunkus tangent here, but was this not supposed to be coach accountability? Wasn't that supposed to be the turnover from Keefe?
The only thing we do see is every once in a while, Berube give it to them on the bench, right? That's pretty much the closest we've seen.
We saw Sheldon do that too. Guys yell at the players on the bench.
Did you text or tweet something about like Sheldon and Craig Berube being like identical? Or
I did. Yeah, I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, I'm just listening to what you guys are saying here.
It was off.
It was a
Scooby-Doo mask reveal.
And it's just, he pulls off the Berube
and it's Berube.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Severance. It's coming back this weekend, where it's like the basis of it is a guy who lives his normal life, and then he goes into an elevator at work, and he like something happens in his brain. They got a chip in his brain. And he goes into his office and he does all this stuff, but he forgets what he does there and he's a different person outside of work. I think they got a severance chip in every guy that walks through the Leafs door. Because I was promised Mr. Accountability, Mr. Crap on everybody, you know, call them out in the media, bench guys. What in the world did William Nylander do last night to play 22 minutes in a hockey game?
Oh my God.
22 minutes in a hockey game. I watched, there was four shifts in the third period. I'm like, that has to be his last shift. Yeah. And they kept running him out there. They pull the goalie with 2 minutes left and put all five stars out there in a dog effort 4-1 loss with the 2 minutes left. Like, the whole point of this to get away from Sheldon was to go back to the rough, gruff guy. And we haven't seen it one time. He hasn't said one mean thing in the media. He hasn't benched one guy for one shift. And it's kind of wearing thin here.
Yeah.
It's getting close to shooting the gun time, a bullet time here. Like, use one.
3 weeks ago, you said he'll disappear for 12 games. He's at like 11 now. So,
but no, but it's just,
yeah, it doesn't make it okay.
I think for this first 3-game losing streak, you lose games because you don't get saves and your stars don't produce. That's kind of what happens. But Willie needs to play way better. They're paying him top dollar. The reason they haven't won a lot of games, or they've been close to these games, because he hasn't produced. It's just, I was promised something that I'm not getting here.
I said in our group chat last night, has he benched one player for one shift that you can recall in 45 games? Can you remember one?
Not of significance.
No.
Maybe a missed rotation or two.
Not enough that we remember it.
But not enough.
Willie has a goal and 5 assists in his last 10 games.
But do you guys know what I'm saying here?
Three or four weeks ago, he was in the running for the Rocket Richard. They've been in first place pretty much all year. It's like, I suggested it last week that, you know, it would maybe help him. And I believe there's a fine line when it comes to benching, that you can send a message to an individual. You can also send it to 19 other guys on the team. a fan base and still not embarrass or humiliate a player. So it's up to Craig Berube to find that fine line, but he has not found it. And I do believe that Willie could use a reset.
Yeah.
He could.
The last 5 minutes of that game last night was a perfect opportunity. You're generating nothing. You're not coming back from anything. And then you keep rolling them out there. You pull the goalie down 4-1 and you put all five guys out there. I'm like, what is going on?
I hate the little backhand chip pass he tries to make through guys instead of, chip it off the wall and keep skating. Like it just doesn't
take time
feel,
to break.
It doesn't feel like he's dug in. And again, this is a greater conversation. This is not about last night versus Dallas necessarily, because last night wasn't terrible. Carolina wasn't terrible. Fine. Whatever you think about these past three losses, it's just, I don't know. I expected their expectations to be higher for themselves. And it feels like right now, if you bench guys early, it's easier to bench guys later because you've been benching guys. It's just part of how you coach. Now it's going to be a big deal because no one's been benched.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube for a comment on William Nylander, clip 8.
This is from today.
Talk about working his way out of it. I go back to the Carolina game. I thought in that first period he was really explosive in that game and on top of things. Just getting him back to more consistency with that. And when he has opportunities, shoot puck. He's got a great shot. And, he had a post last night on the power play, but he's got to shoot. And he's got to just stay involved in the game, a little bit longer than he is. I think just working your way out of it. Just like our whole team, offensively, we got to keep working and got to stay on. Need second and third effort everywhere. This league's a second and third effort league. And this time of year, it gets hard, and we all know that. And we need second and third effort.
Do we also have a clip of him talking about the three losses in a row?
We do have a clip from today. And viewer, listener discretion is advised on this one.
From Willie. Okay.
From Willie. This wasn't from today. I just put it in there, Derek.
All good teams need to go through some stretch where everything's not clicking and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, good teams find their way out of this. And, I mean, it's only been three games. So what's the big deal, really?
What's the big deal, really? How does that compare to Mitch Marner's comment for you?
About the same level.
Doesn't really matter if they boo. I mean, we know we're a good team, so.
They're both bad. Yeah. Neither are good. It's there's lots of.
You've been booed off now twice.
Yeah.
Right?
At home.
Less last night because there's more people that left the building.
Right.
And guess what? You know what? Last night, I give you my blessing. Leave. I'd have been gone.
Yeah.
Third goal goes in. I'm like, they're not scoring two. I'm out.
And it's like, this is a stretch of games where we're coming up against good teams. Okay, let's measure ourselves against Carolina. Let's measure ourselves against Dallas. And you don't get the win. The big deal is, this is Joe Thornton and the Amazon Dock where they called them in. They said, hey, we got some issues here. And Joe said, we're in first place. Like, what are we worried about? We're in first place. It's like, process.
And he's personally for a reason. So
that quote there, it's not three games, Willie. It's 8 years. It's eight years of this.
And he should know better after 8 years that you should know this town.
Well,
no one's going to let you get away with that comment of what's the big deal.
What's the big deal is so hurtful to me. It's the big deal that there's tens of millions of people that pour their heart and soul as like a fan into this, and they're watching crappy games, and you're making $11.5 million, and you look awful for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you say, what's the big deal? It's not going to.
What's the big deal?
A lot of people
really
can afford one ticket, tickets to one game a year.
Yeah.
Watch you go play in flip flop.
Is this just an individual thing, or is this just the way this generation is today where it's. Just seems to me like Joseph Woll last night. I don't know if you have any clips of him last night, but the first thing he talked about was how good his buddy was 200 feet away. He was good, yeah. Right? And it's like
he wasn't that good.
It was forget about whether or not he was good or not. It's like hey, how about you focus on you instead of pumping up your buddy with your first comment on three in a row? And it's just, I don't know. I just think that today they look at big pictures. They don't focus on three bad games. And if they do, it's like water off a back. We'll get them tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, is for me, it's just not Willie. It's just, I think, you know.
Yeah, from the top down for a long time. That it's this sense that this is what's been one of the biggest complaints of Leaf fans for the last 4 or 5 years is the lack of seeming the ability to read a room or the accountability or all this stuff. Where it's like, yeah, they're a good team. And like, I'm not saying that they're not going to make the playoffs or they're crappy or they have no chance or anything.
No.
But there's just these certain beats of these seasons where you've been watching the same movie for 8 years where it's like, have you not learned anything?
It's have, like, I'll tell you what matters because it translates when the games matter most.
Have you not learned anything? Like, it's like, how do you just keep doing and saying the same things?
What's the big deal, really?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just don't understand.
He sounds so much like a parent scolding a teen who keeps breaking curfew.
But it's just and over every year. These like they're a good team, and I get excited, and then they go in these lulls, and they say dumb things, and they're super hateable, and then they're super likable. It's taken years off my life. It is.
I know.
But it's almost as if Leaf fans look at individual players on this team, and they just have their own thoughts and rules. And they just have their own buckets for each player. And for Mitch, it's like, you got to be good all the time. You got no wiggle room. For Willie, it's, oh, that's just Willie being Willie, right?
No, that's not right.
No.
No way. It's politics. There's left and right. The right side of Leafs fandom have been hammering Willie his whole career.
And I'm going to say it, even though you guys are going to roll your eyes.
Yeah. We're about to.
If this was Mitch Marner like this, buddy, they'd push him to the end of the cliff.
Yep.
But you don't think he's taking it?
Willie's just being Willie. And you know, you said tongue-in-cheek, he'll disappear for 12 games, and we laughed, yeah. Right? It's not a serious comment. We laughed. But you say that about Austin. Even Austin would have more heat on him.
Willie's camp doesn't want to be Austin Matthews. They don't want to make as much as Austin Matthews. They don't want to be the captain and be the league leader. They don't.
He's 11 and a half. Don't tell me he doesn't
want. But this is the difference. You get perceived differently where you don't grind the hometown team for every nickel. People cut you a little slack when you cut them some slack. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from nowhere.
Willie didn't cut them some slack. He's making 11 and a half sheets. It's up there with Pastrnak and all the best wingers in the league.
He's paid what he should be paid. He's paid what he should be paid. It also doesn't go down to the wire. He also doesn't get
up. You see that effort the last 3 or 4 weeks out of him, and he's getting paid what he should be getting paid?
No, I'm telling you that people kill him for the effort. We're on this show killing him. I'm saying he's playing in flip-flops.
Today we are, but we're not killing him about his play. We're killing him about his comment.
People also believe that Willie will be there when it matters. They think it'll come, even though Willie goes ho-hum.
Yeah. And like Sammy said, they've been thinking that for 8 years.
Yeah.
None of them have been good.
No, and that's, I don't.
That's the thing. It's like everyone has these perceptions.
Who cares about the perception? I'm talking about being the coach and winning playoff games. Who cares what the fans think of Mitch Marner or William Nylander? How are they coming out here as athletes and saying, whatever? And the coach is saying, they got the bounces. We didn't.
Our power play is 23% in the last 10 games. But so.
The worst in the league over the past calendar year.
You are now in your prime. You've been around for 7, 8 years. You're supposed to be maturing. You're supposed to be more of a leader. The needle's supposed to move. It's not supposed to stay the same every year.
I agree.
And then just hope that this is the playoffs, that it's all going to come together.
I agree.
Totally
agree.
That's
exactly the point I'm making. That we're on the exact same page.
Okay.
That both kids, whichever you think of the...
We don't like the page, and we don't like the road, and we don't like where it's heading.
No, it's not great. You know, so it's... You know, I do believe that there is a great team here, which is... It's like a you know, like a really smart kid in school who doesn't show up, or, you know, at the smoke pit instead of class. It's like we
hacking darts.
Yeah, it's like we have expectations because we think you can do it. We believe in you, and
I don't think
you just got to believe it yourself.
Like the way they were playing earlier in the year defensively, and like their metrics were great, and the goaltending was unbelievable. And I was starting, I was like, you know what? Doing the classic Leaf fan thing, being like, this feels different.
But it looked different.
And it looked
different. They were, like I said, fifth in the league over 20 games and high danger chances.
That's totally slipped, and it just looks a lot like a worse version of it's looked in the last few years over the past, even in the games they won. Like the games they snuck by the Islanders there, that five-game winning streak, they snuck by everyone. They got results, so you can't complain about wins, but like they were sneaking by some crappy teams. Yeah. And then they play three decent teams in a row, and it doesn't look great. So some warning signs. I'm not totally panicking, but it's just all the same things.
They have a good roster. They're going to win games. You know, it's...
Did you like Berube's comment on being booed off the ice? You want to play that?
Yeah, let's play that too. Hey. Clip 4.
Understand the fans' frustration when they kind of boo you off the ice a little bit?
It's everywhere. They do it in every rink, don't they? I mean, it's part of the game. You know, they pay good money and they come to see hockey. They want to see us win. So that's, you know, that's the way it goes.
They do it in Winnipeg?
What would you have liked him to have said?
Yes. That we need, you know, that people pay good money. They come here. We need to be better on home ice. I understand. That's it. Done.
Yeah. I think he's
you know, like if still you're driving on the Gardner, we're trying to get on the Gardner. It takes 48 minutes to get on the Gardner from a foot away at Scotiabank Arena, and you're listening to the postgame comments after you watch that, after paying $500 for a lower bowl ticket. It's like, all teams get booed. How do you feel, Kipper, if you're a fan?
Yeah, the
probably pretty bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, things have changed for Leaf fans too, because I think for the last few years, it's like, you know, they've got this certain thought of 82 games and whether they're first in the division or second or third, it's almost as if, right, it just doesn't matter.
I agree with that there's like a regular season malaise here where it's like everyone tells us only playoffs matter. So sorry we couldn't get up for 82. I get that if it doesn't matter until playoffs is here. But it doesn't.
It's only been three games.
I think
please stop
the fans are also sophisticated enough to say, you know, if you got 60 or 70 points during the regular season off of Buffalo and Philly, and it's like, we don't care. But we do care a little bit more when there's certain measuring stick games. And, you know, super impressed. How long ago was it when Joseph Woll went into Dallas and, you know, stoned them and bailed them out, and they found a way to win, and Dallas is a good team, and yeah, we can get excited about that.
Yes.
And we can get excited about Stolar standing on his head against New Jersey, who's a really good team, and us grinding away to a win, right? And then last night, I don't know, they kind of saw it as two bad games, a good team coming in, and there'll be another one tomorrow night against Jersey. And I think Leaf fans pay a lot more attention to losses against good teams than wins against mediocre teams or bad teams.
Yeah, you've said it yourself. There's not many teams in the league that you would consider measuring sticks, right?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to find measuring stick games now.
So
they're far and few. And three Saturdays ago against Boston, like Matthews' first game back, and he looked like the 70-goal stud that we've seen in the past. And you're like, that one could excite people.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they got to Kip.
Who did?
I don't know. The brass? Shanahan calling, what's going on right now?
I just can't remember
all our years together. I can't remember you taking them off the hook like this.
I'm not.
Like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I don't like Willie's effort.
I'm sure the Washington Capitals are getting booed off the ice every night.
Now I feel like I'm overreacting.
I don't know if I was really expecting Willie to change much, right?
Again, with the Marner thing, it's like, I don't expect Willie to change, and that's like more like I've given up on him, where it's like, it's there for Mitch. There's so much there for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get to another
sad.
Clip, or you want to? Don't be sad.
Well,
Sammy.
No, it's just
don't be sad.
I didn't think it was the same old Leafs, and it's the same old Leafs. When you go into the season, right, where there's been how many straight off seasons where it's been rumored that a big time shakeup,
coach.
Hold on, a big time shakeup is coming to the core, and like this is the year that something gets shaken up, and they stick with Dubas and Keefe for probably two seasons too long. Then they finally make the change and they bring in Treliving, but they stick with Keefe. And they're like, finally, they're bringing in the new coach. This is the big change. We're not trading any stars. We're not trading anybody from the roster of that matters. It's like, this is going to be different this year. They're definitely going to play them all on the same line or on different lines. And it's going to be all this. Willie's going to play center. Martin's going to try center. Riley's going to be playing. And then it's just the same damn thing. Like there's like a practice again today. Roll them back out there. Pair them up.
Chemistry.
Can't change the steering wheel.
Try something different.
Can't change the steering wheel on a jet and make it a Porsche.
Anything else.
Like putting one of the Marner, Matthews, or
three different lines
on three
yes.
different lines.
Please. Do it four different lines. I don't care. Try something different once.
The power play early had to come off after a minute, and we'll send the second unit out, and it just seemed like
it was...
The
power play is a totally different conversation to me.
No, but that's what you're speaking of. Just... tighten up on maybe just going back to the basics.
Just make it feel like there's consequences for bad performances.
Well, there isn't.
There isn't. Willie playing 22 minutes last night is insane.
That is pretty insane.
How does that happen?
Play him through it, I guess. All right.
We'll take a quick break here. When we return, we'll get into much more, including the blue line, even the goaltending, and... where we see the Hildebeest coming back into play here.
And it's also mailbag day, too.
Mailbag.
I have like 100.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good ones?
So,
amazing.
There's some pretty good ones.
Yeah. All right. Sammy's mailbag coming up next after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Now let's start a segment that is sweeping Leafland, if not the whole nation.
What's that?
McKee's Maple Leaf Midweek Mailbag. A lot of M's there.
Big fan.
A lot of M's.
McKee's bag didn't work as a label, so.
Hey.
We didn't mention Morgan Riley in the first.
So hold on for a second.
We didn't mention anything.
Just hold on for a second.
Yelled at each other.
There's listeners for the first time wondering what the heck I just said. So explain it to them so they can participate in maybe future Wednesdays, midweeks.
This year, 2025, we're trying to keep the people more involved. So on Friday, we're doing the lease line where you can call in 416-413-4141. I think that's the number, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think it's 416-431-4141. Okay.
Anyways, I'll put it back up. Oh, it's 413. I was right.
My bad.
413-4141. You can leave us a voicemail.
That's for
Fridays. And on Wednesdays, I sent out a tweet around 10 or 11. And you can text us, too, at 590-590. And I'll take your questions and stuff so we can keep people more involved.
Yes.
Keep people more fresh.
We want to be in touch with our awesome.
Yes.
So I don't have to text Luke Fox every other day being like, hey, buddy, can you come on? It's like, we got
to,
you know,
talk to
it's like,
going to
bug everybody on the Leafs beat three times a week, talk to
and
everybody else.
I like this segment, but
thank you.
For Fridays, we actually get to hear real human beings leaving a message.
And, I'm sure that'll be really just, reasonable this
and
week.
And capturing every fabric of how sad, pathetic and desperate they are for the Leafs to win, and that's a refreshing change for us past Sammy.
That's right. It's nice to hear it from other voices.
But I want you guys to know that when I play those clips, like, it's not just me. Like, I am a reflection of an insane group of people.
I would say you're a reflection of an insane group of people.
Yes, that's what I said.
Not like an insanely large group, but like just an. You mean it that way. You mean like an insane group?
No, I mean like Leaf fans in are delusional, passionate, okay, incredible people that I am one of, mm-hmm, and yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. But sometimes I think you guys think that I'm just like
delusional,
out on an island by myself.
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Just delusional.
Right.
Not anything else. Just delusional.
There is one thing I am for sure, and it's delusional, boys. This is from Jacob. Bodmon Jake on Twitter.
Oh, Bodmon.
Can Riley's struggle this season be at all attributed to him being a new father? I'd imagine parenting a newborn baby takes a lot of energy out of a person.
I'm going to leave this to my good friend, JB, because he is in touch with today's dad.
No,
I passed it.
Here's what
I'm long past it right now. I am so trying hard
Kipper's
to get my
au pairs from Sweden dealt with the kids in the night. Who are we kidding?
Get up off the floor, stop playing with the dog, and go to school.
That's the way I used to talk to my kid. That was off of a morning show with Gord Stellick.
I don't know if it was Greg Brady, maybe. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Gord, too.
To be clear, I still talk to my kids. I talk to my kids like that today.
Landry and Stellick.
So.
Oh, that's wrong. Okay, never mind.
But
what was it?
Anyways, Derek's...
It was a morning show.
Yeah, Derek's just buzzing in my ear, and it's Greg Brady.
Oh, that's Greg Brady, okay. Yeah. All right.
Early in the season, I said, like, he would have had a newborn at the start of the year, basically, and I said that, yeah, like, could have messed up his sleep a little bit, could be part of the reason he's 5% worse. But then you figure out some rhythms. A few months in, the baby starts to sleep a little bit, whatever.
He's off to college. Come on. It's over.
We're like, 5 months into the season. If he's still not sleeping, they got to find a new routine. Like, they need a night nurse. They need a solution. So by now, I'm done giving him that pass. So I gave it to him early. I'm done with it now.
Has there been a worse stretch for him that you can ever remember as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, yeah. I mean, he's gone. We've had these conversations every year.
I think
it's been bad this year. Maybe worse, but it's also, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Recency bias, where it's what we've watched most recently. But over the past few years, he's had some pretty down stretches in the regular season.
For me,
where we're like, hopefully
Riley,
when he gets to the playoffs, because he's good in the playoffs, yeah, we always had those conversations. Go ahead, Barney.
For me with Riley, like, I just, when he's not great, sometimes you still don't notice him and not a ton happens. But, like, usually it's offset by some games where he's dynamic or exciting or makes some plays. Yeah. And it's just been the absence of that greatness this year where it's like, where is those moments? There's been few and far between.
One of five goalposts were hit last night by him.
Ripped, too.
Yeah.
Good shot.
Two of those go in, we could be having a much happier show today. Leafs ride along. That's Leafs Nation, baby. It's literally a combined foot from being a happy show. This is from Leafs ride along on Twitter. Our two best playoff games under Keefe were when they won games 5 and 6 with a center quartet of Domi, Tavares, Holmberg, and Kampf. Target scoring more than center, Besser, Hall, and go get Bo Byram. Yes, that means Riley will be part of it. Send him out to Van. He'll be happy. There is something to that, like, the center depth and or whatever, like, you just need some guys that are going to score.
I feel like I don't understand the question.
Well, I don't think there's much of a question.
I'm with you.
I'm just saying, like,
so
the statement is that, because everybody's talking about going and getting a new center.
Right. Yeah.
But he just said that their best games in 5 and 6, which were phenomenal defensive games, they played really well, they beat the Bruins 2 straight, their centers were Domi, Tavares, Holmberg, and Kampf.
I think one of the things I want to beat back against is the idea that you don't need good players or you can survive without good players or, you know, you look at...
You go and finish.
We had a board last night that the Leafs record is better without Matthews and without Marner and without Riley. And it's like, it's not, do you want to play with all bad players and see how that goes?
It's only an 800 winning percentage of Riley.
And I can appreciate that, like, you could be on fumes, you can go with a bad lineup and find a way to win
a game or two.
But to suggest that you're going to win 2 or 3 rounds or, heaven I say, a Stanley Cup with that list of centermen is like dream on.
Like, you're gonna go up against Point, Sorelli,
Barkov,
Paul,
Lundell, Bennett,
right? It's not feasible.
So
Bo Byram's not my answer.
I mean Morgan played his best hockey 2 seasons ago in the first round where he outplayed Victor Hedman and was arguably the best defenseman on the ice. but
it's within him.
You gotta where that has gone right now, or how does he get it back? And you know, for me too, and we give Craig Berube a lot of credit for that first half of getting him in the playoffs, but or getting him into first place in the Atlantic Division, but he's going to have to come up with something to get some of these guys a little free and clear here. The being locked into just the style of play right now, like Craig Berube's got to take the same lineup and find different ways to get a lot more creative. There is no creativity. There is they're not making chances for themselves. You can sit there and say, hey, we defended well or we didn't, but you're not creating anything.
No, the expected goals for them in the last couple of games are below two
and
both
games. That's why Morgan gets paid $7.5 million is to create. Mm-hmm. When I watch TSN last night highlight Philip Myers last night in the second intermission, it's because there's no one else that they can.
We've been there.
Like, they can't.
Should we do a doer pack?
There's no one else.
Yeah.
And
put Myers in the like power play. Let him hammer it.
Sure. Listen, like Myers, okay, he's come a long way, but that's the best you got mm-hmm. in the intermission. This team's in trouble.
Yeah. Totally.
What do I got here? Is either Jamie Oleksiak, this is from Elise A. Washburn on Twitter. Is either Jamie Oleksiak or Vince Dunn a trade option for the Leafs if they are also in pursuit of Gourde? With that logic, would Cowan be in play?
I'll be honest. Like, I don't know how Oleksiak's playing this year. I like the idea of like a big, strong third pair D, but
you're not giving up your best.
No, not for that
prospect for Oleksiak.
Okay, nor done.
You're giving him up for JT Miller.
Right.
That's the start of something, but I do not see Seattle bailing on their blue line. They like their blue line. So there's a lot of issues going on in Seattle, tremendous disappointment in that organization, but I don't see them signing Montour and then stripping down 2/3 of that blue line with Dunn and Oleksiak leaving.
Now, Dunn's contract situation, did he sign one?
I think he's okay. They like him, and he's come a long way.
Yeah. No, he's plays top pair minutes for them. He is making $735,000 this year and two more seasons after. He's 28.
That's a big ticket.
Pretty big ticket. Pretty good player.
Yeah, he is.
The one thing that we talked about before we came on air, just kicking around the Islanders, Scott Mayfield, you have your trade list.
I do, yeah. It's a follow-up from one I had about a month and a half ago. Obviously, a few things have changed. I am of the believer, especially last night for the New York Islanders, who went into a homestand coming off three wins in a row, and then they get shut out by Ottawa.
And didn't generate a good shot?
It's over.
It's got it.
It's so over. And I do believe that there's...
I'm a lift in brisk iced tea.
There's going to be a handful of potential guys leaving the Islanders for some assets, and I have Mayfield as one of them. I know, Sammy, you've been hard on Luke Shen coming back here.
Yes, I've mentioned it.
I do believe that Mayfield is a type of guy, and you may even get the Islanders to eat some of that, but if you can get him up around $275,000, $3 million, I think it's a good pickup for a guy that has the ability to play anywhere between 4, 5, and 6 on your depth chart.
Yeah. You know, he's a long, legitimate defender. He makes $3.5 million.
You may have to bring that down because he's got 4 or 5 years left on it.
Yeah, it's till 2030, I think. You know, so he's got years, but if you could bring it down to like you said, 2.7, and he's on your third pair, all of a sudden it's like, all right, that's like Philippe Myers, but the next level.
He's under contract till 2030.
Yeah.
He's 32 years old.
He's one of those guys that's like,
he did the Engvall contract with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Except the Engvall one is a joke. And this one's just.
Well, the length of it.
Yeah. The length of it's not great, but if the hit were lower, you'd be less concerned.
Yeah. The other concerning thing is there's been a significant drop off on Benoit as well. We don't expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. I didn't like him off the, Duchesne penalty kill there with the between the legs and the crease.
Yeah. Want him tighter on him there?
Oh, yeah. He's just caught in no man's land.
Tough, too. Like, he's a guy who has said himself, like, he doesn't know another way to play, so he's kind of all out 82 games, and maybe that's tough. So a couple of games in the press box maybe wouldn't hurt him.
One more from the mailbag. Justin Wagner on Twitter. Why haven't Domi and Matthews been given a legit chance to play together this season? Is this a combination that worked all last year? Then you can split up Marner and Matthews and add more depth to a struggling lineup.
How many games did they play together last year? Do we know?
Well, first of all, I mean, Matthews just hasn't been around long enough where you're going to kind of... I think it's there. I think there's...
They tried it last night. 4-1, they tried it.
Yeah. I still think when things kind of even out a little bit and you start getting back to, you know, your tougher winning hockey for the Leafs, there's going to be opportunities for Berube to put them together.
What are we thinking about Domi and his season to date here? Like, you know, 3 goals, 15 points. I know he's a guy we like as a person, and he works hard, and he's got a great edge, and he's a good Maple Leaf and all that.
Yeah.
But you're paying him almost four sheets.
No, you need more.
You do.
You need more.
You can't get no points. He had no points in the month of November. He had a better December with a little bit of a run, but this year or this month, he's, you know, no goals, two assists.
Yeah, and he got smoked last night by Dumba.
Good hit.
Really good hit. I just think... To speak of the lack of energy for the team, I wasn't thrilled with their response.
It's hard. We've talked about this. You have to fight everyone with throws a good hit.
No, you don't. But you got to go and tell somebody, F you.
I followed them and said, hey, please stop.
It's also really hard to have any physical response to a guy wearing a fishbowl.
Yeah, it's almost like you shouldn't be allowed to throw big hits. Like, you've got to play the fishbowl, you just can't throw big
hits. You know
how
fast I could get my fingers in that thing and rip it off his face? But like, do you know, have any idea?
That's a really good point.
I understand that that's a hit you got to take 10 times out of 10. He's coming over the center ice line, has the
puck.
Looking straight down. Like, that's a guy you got a bird cage or a bubble, whatever. You got to take that hit. But after you hit it and you're like face to face with him, you're like, well,
no one's played more hockey than the Florida Panthers last night, and I'm still seeing a pretty spirited group there.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
No, I watched Tampa. Yeah, I saw the end of the game. Yes. I saw Tampa Bay-Boston, which, so you know, you got Florida, Tampa Bay, and Boston, three other teams in this division.
Sammy buried the Bruins.
Knockdown dragon.
Listen, I'm an idiot. I say the wrong thing every
day. No.
But they still got some spunk there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Swayman might find it,
This is a perfect way to end our hour that's been seemingly negative about a first place team. It's from Paul Zhang on Twitter. Why should we care? We all know how the movie ends.
Oh, so first off, the first place team thing.
Your burner account?
102 points last year. This season they're on pace for beep boop beep 102 points. They're the same team. The rest of the division is just worse. But yeah, we don't know how the movie ends.
Is that gonna?
We don't know.
Is that gonna win the division? 102.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I tweeted today the last 10 games of the top five teams in the division. Leafs the only team above 500 at 6-4. So I know Ottawa's won too lately.
I'm so over regular seasons. I don't even know if
you it just will might matter. Your next contract with Sportsnet might be playoffs only.
Like, instead of showing up mid October, he's showing up April 3rd.
Yeah. Or at least March 3rd. Give us a trade deadline or something. Give us some run up at least.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Well,
that's a good mailbag.
Thanks. Not bad.
Yeah, we appreciate the questions, even the ones that we disagree with aggressively.
Yeah. And get ready for Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the calls. Leave Sammy a message. Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow they get the New Jersey Devils and Sheldon Keefe. Berube had some comments about knowing what it's like to go back to the place you've been.
Go
ahead.
I sure wish they were playing better.
Jake McKay should be back in the lineup, which is good news.
Oh, you mean the team's most important player?
Seems like it.
They're below 400 when he doesn't play.
Can he help with some offense, though?
Yes, he can.
Can he?
He can shoot it in.
We get the puck out.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, stop a cycle. Send it the other way.
All right, our thanks to no one but us for that hour.
And our listeners. Who gave us those beautiful questions.
Oh, thank them. Of course. Yeah. That's a given on our every midweek day. Mailbag by Sammy. All right, don't go away. Darren McCarty, four-time Stanley Cup champion, host of Woodward Sports Network. We'll talk about Detroit's chances now to get back into the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in many years. And David Amber in studio. Don't go away.